Hi, my name's Steve Rotherham. I'm the Metro Mayor of the Liverpool City Region. Welcome to episode 7 of the Anti-Racism in Action live stream. Liverpool and the City Region have been known for centuries for its welcoming nature, and that has created a diversity in our community, something that we all very much celebrate. But we've also apologised for our past, quite rightly, in the slave trade. And what we need to do now is to look to the future to build that fairer, more socially just society for all.
Morning. Thank you, Steve. What a brilliant welcome to this episode and to our week. Welcome to episode 7 of Anti-Racism in Action. This week, we're looking at the Liverpool City Region. I have got to do a total confession. I've always had a real soft spot for Liverpool. Every time I've ever been to the whole region, I've been made incredibly, incredibly welcome. And I think what Steve said just then around looking to drawing the line, looking to the future, it's absolutely brilliant that this is exactly what this whole season is all about. We're in for a real, real treat on this episode today. My co-host is Amajit. Amajit, do you want to join us in the studio? Hey, Amajit, how are you?
Morning, Gavin. Morning, Gavin. And just echo your point about how wonderfully warm and welcoming Liverpool is. Just a couple of years ago, I did a long weekend there, and it was absolutely world class. You know, the whole persona, the welcome, the emotion, the history was just absolutely superb.
Yeah, I love Liverpool. I think it's a really great place. But can I share some figures, because maybe this is something to do with it, actually, to be honest. The region's got 1.6 million residents, but it's got the oldest African heritage community in the UK and the oldest Chinese community in all of Europe. I did not know that. And that's really, really interesting. It's got large Indian, Latin American, Malaysian, African, Afro-Caribbean, Ghanaian, Somali, Yemeni populations, each with several thousand people. And what's really interesting is you've got two guests which are going to cover two different sides of this. We're going to split. We're going to do this a little bit different today. Amajit's going to be focusing on mainly questions with Lorna, and I'm going to be mainly focusing on questions with Elaine. We'll show you why in a bit, because there's some really interesting things which are going on as well around race equality program, a 2025 declaration of intent. So I didn't know if you wanted to sort of cover anything as well, or should we just bring the people in and go for it? Because I'm so excited about today. I think we've got a really, really good show. I didn't know if you wanted to say anything, or should I bring in Lorna and then let's go for it? Because I think most of the stuff you're probably going to ask is going to be around that declaration of intent. So I think Lorna, Elaine, do you want to come and join us in on this episode? Hey, Lorna. Hey, Elaine, how are you? I'll drop this down. Everyone can see who you guys are. Amajit, do you want to go for it with Lorna?
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful, warm welcome to Lorna Rogers. Lorna, if you could just introduce your role at the Liverpool City Region, but also I'm particularly interested in the very recently published Race Equality Declaration of Intent. If you could just get some behind that in the context of what the drivers were, but also some of the commitments that sort of arrived from there.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorna Rogers. I'm an assistant director at the Combined Authority in Liverpool City Region, and I'm leading on the Race Equality Programme for the region. The Declaration of Intent was a commitment to the people of our region to improve inequalities. And I think it was really important that we set out a number of targets and commitments, because there has been lack of trust. People have felt let down. People have heard this all before but seen no change. So we wanted to be really transparent about what it is we're trying to achieve. We've set out some clear, tangible targets around employment, around closing that employment gap, around improving representation across our apprenticeships, supporting our ethnic minority businesses better. And I think it was really important that we make that statement and we set ourselves them challenging targets so that we can see real action. Because I think for a long time, all we've had is a lot of talk and no action.
And underneath that declaration of interest, intent is very much the Race Equality Programme, Lorna.
Yes.
Just reading it in advance of the programme, you know, apart from workforce and businesses, it's very much about the city region as a role model. So could you unpack how you're taking on that role of role model all across your region?
Yes, I mean, I think we need to be facilitating and encouraging everyone to get involved in this. It's not one organisation that can make a change. It needs to be a collective, a collaboration. Mm-hmm. So when we set up our race equality programme, which is to deliver on them targets we've set ourselves, we've got three strands. So we're looking at ourselves as an organisation, as an employer. We need to get our own house in order. We're looking at ourselves as a commissioner and how we spend money and the impact that has on our ethnic minority communities. And then the last one is the facilitator role. And I think that's really the powerful side of it, where we can get other organisations to come on board and work collaboratively with us to all make part of this change, because it's a systemic problem. It's been around for decades. And in order for us to make real sustainable change, we need to do it together with everybody.
Look, I know we're still going to jump in. Lorna, that was absolute like song words to my ears. Everything you said, collective. No one's got all the ideas and all the solutions, but as a collective, we can. That it's gone on for too long, that we need to do, you know, we need to do action, not just talk about it, but action to make change, but also to do it via example as well. Absolutely brilliant. So I want to jump out, but I just thought that's absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, that's superb. And just one further question, if I may, Lorna. Reading the Race Equality Programme, there's something about a hub there.
Yeah.
And could you just reveal what the Race Equality Hub is as part of that programme?
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's a real kind of bold, innovative, different way of us taking action. So we secured some funding earlier this year for us to establish a hub, which is going to be a coordinated kind of strategic organisation independent of the combined authority, which is due to be established early next year. And we see the hub as a place to go to get a number of different services. So we want the hub to offer pre-recruitment support, business support, helping with leadership and representation across organisations, supporting other organisations in getting their workforces more representative and creating more inclusive cultures. So I think the hub, it's going to be co-designed with communities. It's going to be a test and learn, because we might not get it right all the time, and we're open to that. We're open to trying things out and seeing what works. I think no one's cracked this, and we need to be innovative, collaborative, and give it a go. So I think I'm really excited to get the hub established. We're recruiting at the moment for advisors to help us on the development board to set that organisation up, and then we hope to start delivering services next year.
Lorna, I just want to congratulate you on that, because what it sort of impresses on me is you're combining place-based leadership with thought leadership.
Yes.
And that's a really, really inspiring combination, you know, to take forward. And I know our other guest, Elaine, is very much bought into all of this as CEO of City of Liverpool College as well. Welcome, Elaine.
Hey, Elaine, how are you? Oh,
very well, thanks. Yeah, and everything that Lorna's been saying has really helped me and the college in our journey. Being part of that integrated network of, as you say, thought leaders and also place-based leaders helps to move it forward. We can learn from each other, we can help each other, and I think also it helps to accelerate the pace as well. So it is something that makes, I think, Liverpool and the Liverpool City region great, and it also is what helps us to move this agenda forward.
Yeah, 100%. I 100% agree. I think it's interesting that you took like sort of the analogy there of place-based to thought leadership, and then I think you've mentioned a few times now, Lorna, around collective, and I think that's the really important part, because if we have got all those thought leaders, all of those different sort of experiences and views and diverse views to be able to move forward as a collective, that's where the real solutions and movement comes from. So I'm really, really excited. Elaine, you've been so patient. I'd like to talk to you. Morning, how are you?
Fine,
to introduce
thanks.
Elaine, you're CEO and principal of City of Liverpool College. I'm interested in this. So a student population of more than 10,000. So is that around about a third of all 16 to 18 year olds in the city are studying with the college?
Yeah, that's a lot of students, and if we wobble, the city wobbles, and if we do well, the city does well. So, you know, no pressure.
Yeah, no, totally, and it's okay to have a wobble. Do you know what I mean? Can I also sort of highlight as well that you're the EDI champion for the LEP, and also I'm going to talk to you a little bit in a bit about this. Is it the Race Equality Business Support Group that I wanted to that you're sort of leading on as well, is that correct?
I'm not leading on it, I'm supporting it.
Right, okay.
It has its own black chair, which was Lorna, and then we've got a new chair now as well. But it is a subgroup, and it's something about the work that we were doing on the LEP. Again, it's all about this integrated network. So the LEP has been taking a good hard look at itself in terms of its anti-racism work, both as an employer, but also as a main business network. So what are we doing to make sure that we're, you know, helping, supporting and educating all of our businesses to become anti-racist? And also, what are we doing to ensure that we're reaching out and we've got the right support for Black-owned businesses? So that's where the LEP was. And we've been working with Lorna very much with the Combined Authority to help set that up. And it's been up now for about a year, and it's now got its own independent chair. So it's, you know, I don't want to take any of the credit for that. It's just the work of the LEP trying to become better at what it does as well. And there's still a lot more work to be done. But I think, first of all, we've had to take that time to listen and understand what's happening to business. What more can we do to help those businesses, and what are the key issues? And we're just waiting for the piece of work to come through now, the big baseline piece of work that we've done together with Lorna and her team.
That sounds really, really cool. I know that you've also been looking at diversity of boards across the region as well. So how is that going? It's been a year, did you say, that this has been going? So how much sort of impact has that made in the year, and what's the sort of vision for the future for that?
I think in the year, it's been one about making sure that we've got good representation as well on that board. We've got a fantastic group of people on that from all different aspects of the city as well. Secondly, the work that Lorna has been doing has been trying to really understand our baseline, and a really big piece of work that's been done on that. So I think that's taken up quite a lot of the time. And what's coming through that is there is a genuine will and desire from, I think, more chief executives now of businesses to want to become, you know, more diverse themselves and to take anti-racism seriously, but don't know how to do it. Want to do it but don't know how to do it. So how do you build that infrastructure? And then secondly, you know, how do we understand what those Black-owned businesses in the Liverpool City region, big thing that's coming up is procurement, really understanding and having really good access to procurement. So I think, you know, those that we've got three big actions that we're looking at, so which is how do we continue to support those all businesses to become better. If we want to make a difference in terms of apprenticeships, here's some of the ways that we start to do that by raising the profile within every business. And then secondly, what do we do by way of helping those Black-owned businesses in the city? So that's been the, you know, the two big things. And then with the hub that Lorna spoke about, what's coming out of that, the hub will start to take that forward. But we've also been working as a college on our own anti-racism strategy, and then in addition to that, we've been supported and challenged by the work that's been going on in Liverpool as well, which is separate to, but you know, complemented by the Combined Authority. So we've had a task force in the city region as well that's been looking at anti-racism, and their report's just about to be published. So for example, we've been able to work with them in terms of setting up a mentoring system for our staff in the city region by not just looking at what we can do as a college, but also as part of that task force. So I do think it's helping to accelerating the work of what's going on, because we do lend our support and our resources to each other and support each other. And that's what I find really helpful to me as a leader, because I think in taking this work forward, it is really tough, it is really difficult, but you can make a difference. I wouldn't want to come here today and say that it hasn't already been really tough. I think anybody that says it's easy, I don't think you're doing the right things. And anyone that says you can do this fast, I don't think you're taking it seriously enough. So it's really good to be able to accelerate that pace by being able to reach out to colleagues in the Liverpool, in the city of Liverpool, but also in the wider Combined Authority as well.
And can I ask, because obviously we did a lot of work with, and rightly so, we're talking about sort of place-based leadership and sort of colleges being a beacon of the community and the such. How has your work with outside of the college, with like the authority, helped sort of you in the college actually come up with different strategies and views? Obviously, working with Black FE Leadership Group as well, just sort of thinking of this different ways to share ideas for different leaders that are, or leaders of the future that are out there in FE, as to things that they can do and ways that they can work with different people to be inspired and to actually take action points forward, really.
Absolutely, I think that's been the key and the core to what we've been doing. So I suppose really we became much more serious. I think, you can look at your data and you can think you're doing okay, and you can take confidence, false confidence sometimes in the data. So if you looked at us as a college, we've got good representation, we reflect our community. But then if you take a really good hard look at that, in terms of the data, yes, we do, but we don't have enough people, we don't have enough staff, black staff in those really senior positions at governance and all of those levels. So I think that realization of how you really do look at your data and don't take false comfort in what you're doing and have those, difficult conversations within the organization have been assisted by the work that I would say that Tracy's done in Liverpool, and the work that we've been doing with Lorna, and the work that we've certainly been doing with Amajit as part of the Black FE Leadership Group. And having those difficult conversations, having somebody else to have those difficult conversations with, I think is invaluable. Because the one thing that's clear is you've got to be, you've got to be willing to stand up and be counted, and at times. And also look yourself in the mirror as well. So we've been supported by certainly by Amajit and the Black FE Leadership Group to look at what we've been doing, things that we're doing already together around making sure that our work with staff and students, making sure their voice is really heard, and the work that we've been doing with Lorna around our board, which is we're just starting to work on that now, but we've know we've got vacancies coming up in the next 12, 18 months. So we want to look at a type of apprenticeship program, but not as you know it, with Lorna, so that we can, Lorna's and I will be working to bring the great diverse black talent that we've got in this city and beyond, preparing for when our vacancies come up on our board as well. So that's, just one of the things that we've been doing. Together, I spoke about the work that we were doing with Tracy from the task force as well here in Liverpool, which has been looking at a mentoring program for the city. So in order to get a mentoring program in place for our staff quickly and effectively, we've been able to look at the work that Tracy's been doing as well. So again, that's helped to facilitate and move us forward. And perhaps, and we've also been doing training with other organisations as well, such as the Charlie Waller Trust. Again, it's that layering of different perspectives. I think the biggest thing as well is, as a leader, as you grow in confidence and you understand the literacy and the language a little bit better, you become more confident. You start talking about anti-racism, I think, in a more comfortable, more natural way. And it just raises the whole stakes across the organization. And I think people realize that we're more serious, we're authentic, and our staff and our students start talking back to us. And when they start talking back to us, we really start to understand where are the barriers, and don't take false comfort in the data, but really understand, start to understand actually what is really holding us back. How do we make this a better place? How do we really learn better from those lived experiences, and how do we change? And we've still got a hell of a long way to go, but I would say that the conversation feels authentic in terms of people being willing to share and tell us how they feel.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Gavin, can I just piggyback on some of the things Elaine said to bring in Lorna? Lorna, Elaine started to talk about the opportunities, but all some of the challenges, including, the authentic vulnerabilities that you have as a leader. You have your first black female mayor in Liverpool. I'm really interested in, you know, what difference that is making, but also just to open up, what are your personal challenges in taking this agenda forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great that we've got our first black female mayor, and she's a great role model, and she can be an advocate, and she's very supportive of the programme. I mean, Elaine's right. It's about having them difficult conversations, and I've had plenty of them thus, you know, up to now, and I know I'm going to have more going forward. But I think people being willing to have them conversations is the important part. We've got our leaders who have just gone through a Courageous Conversations programme, which is like a facilitated space where they can increase their racial literacy and understanding of what the challenges are. We need to do more of that. And I think I've been encouraged by the support and the active leadership we've got in the region, people wanting to make a change. But I know that representation is really important. And like Elaine said, we need to work harder to get more representation. That's where I think we'll get the sustainable change, when we get more diverse representation in all of our organisations, all of our governance and decision-making forums. I think that's what we're striving for. So we've really, I think in the past, people have targeted kinds of entry-level roles and getting representation. We're flipping it the other way. We're looking at that senior level to try and get sustainable, effective change.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I was going to say, Lorna, is there any sort of, you've sort of done it a bit there with the workshops and like flipping models and stuff like that. Any sort of tips you would want to give any leaders or future leaders, particularly because this is an audience within further education, skills and employability, that you could sort of share to make people just sort of think of ways even to get started or to sort of that next step?
Yes, I mean, I think people need to take themselves on a journey of education. I'm still learning things. I don't know everything. I think people really need to be proactive in finding out more. And there's tons of resources out there. We've set up a microsite so that people can go on and learn about people's lived experiences. There's tons and tons of evidence, research, information for people to really take themselves on a learning journey. I think people need to be open-minded as well. And, you know, not one person has got all the solutions to this. It definitely needs to be a collaboration, but people need to be willing to go on that journey together.
Yeah, no, 100%. At times it's just like flying by. If you could dream and dream big, Elaine, what would you want to see for the future around particularly looking at being very conscious and having that action point around sort of being, having an anti-racist strategy? What would you want to be able to see as the future?
It would definitely be about the community. I'd want to see our community in positions. I'd want to see our black community in positions of power, influence, education, and not become targets in the way that I think Sadie Khan and even Joanne have been. That, you know, the world would treat people a little bit more kindly, and that we would see, you know, my future students becoming the black PM and taking up real power of, you know, seats, whether offices of states and power of influence, that we see a lot more of our communities taking those up and taking them up with the support of everybody.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Lorna, what would you want to see if you could dream and dream big? What would you want to see for the future?
I think I'd want it to be where the colour of your skin doesn't impact your life chances, where people can just fulfill the full potential and don't have to think about it. It doesn't need to be a thing. And yes, I think that's where we're hopefully heading towards, but we know it's going to take a long time to get there.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Can I ask you both, Elaine and Lorna, because this is quite a unique opportunity to be able to do this, is how can you suggest tips and advice? Amajit, you look like you want to be able to say something there, and I'll wait.
No. To be honest, I think I was just reflecting on the courageous conversations that Lorna mentioned, because I think when people step over that line where they can be courageous, but also leverage it up at institutional level, so from personal to institutional level, and clearly Lorna and Elaine are talking about regional level, you've got something that you can be optimistic about. my issue still with, for example, skills and employability is that ethnicity still tends to be a afterthought. And I would love, given, I think, Lorna's and Elaine's resolve, for example, with the local skills improvement plans, actually ethnicity being placed at the heart of making the most of Liverpool City Region's potential. So I was just literally reflecting, probably through my facial expressions, that importance of courageous conversations being systemized, I think.
No, I 100% agree. Can I ask you, Elaine and Lorna, there's some viewers, some leaders that will be watching this that don't have a really strong relationship with their external sort of authorities, or maybe with their LEPs. They do in sort of, you know, in, yeah, they go to the meetings, they're a face there, but how do you actually develop really strong relationships where you can make fundamental change? Can you give some tips on how to actually really make it happen? It's like the courageous conversations. You've got to be actually do it to be able to do it. How can you sort of not just be there in person to be able to make fundamental change like this, but how can you actually provide some tips for people to really be able to connect with their LEPs to really make, you know, fundamental change?
I mean, I'd start out by saying, I think we started a conversation with a number of different organisations around wanting to do something, wanting to make a change. And I've been kind of really encouraged by the number of people that have come forward, and they've heard about what we're doing and they want to get involved. So the network has just grown kind of organically. We just set out our intention of wanting to do something after the murder of George Floyd. And I think it's just gathered momentum. And now we've got a number of different networks and forums of people coming together to collaborate on different aspects of the Race Equality Programme. I think it is just reaching out to people and asking, can we work together on this? We've got a willingness. We want to make a change. How do we do it together? I think things are often, you know, better done together than people doing it in isolation. So 100%. I think it's just people putting their hands up and saying, who wants to come in and help us on this journey?
Yeah.
I would echo that. I think it's really important to be open and make sure that communities know that you're open to suggestions as well. And the way that you recruit and the way that you bring on board that talent as well, we've looked at that. We've also had to, as a LEP, we've also had our own training and had to bring in external organisations to give us that challenge. So I think there are things that we do differently now that we probably wouldn't have done in the past if we hadn't have also, you know, had that internal challenge. So I agree with Lorna. It is about, I think, being open to being vulnerable sometimes invites trust a little bit more. And I think that's what we've been willing to be vulnerable. Willing might be the wrong word, but I think that vulnerability has been there for all to see. And I do think when you're vulnerable, authenticity comes to the fore. And then those organisations, I think, will trust a little bit more. So it has been about that, showing that side of ourselves as well.
And Gavin, that's absolutely true, because it's actually this morning we're embarking upon the first day of a research program inside Elaine's college. So one of our researchers is basically embedded in the college for the next fortnight, you know, actually having some of those lived experience conversations with students.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Amajit, we're so nearly out of time, but is there anything you'd want to add around sort of tips to better encourage leaders to better reach out to their wider, to be sort of place-based leaders, but to better actually engage more, to actually make not just talk, but action, to actually be able to make change?
I think Elaine and Lorna have just said beautifully, you know, what should be, I think, the resolve, the approach. And I think some of the personal and collective, you know, commitments that take forward. I don't think I can outdo these two colleagues.
No, not at all. And I think that's today, I've really, really enjoyed it. And we're completely at the end. So I just want to do a massive thank you to everyone. But the massive thank you really is just being open and honest, talking about authenticity, talking about vulnerability, talking about ways to be able to work together. Not everyone's got all the ideas, all the solutions, but as a collective, we're getting closer and closer to be able to sort of to be able to get there. And it's all on a journey. It's all taking steps, isn't it? And I just wanted to say thank you so much, Lorna, Elaine, for joining us. This is a total collaboration between FE News and Black FE Leadership Group. Stella has been absolutely amazing in getting all of these things together. Amajit, what a really great show that you guys put together today. Thank you. From FE News end, Leah, thanks for making all the magic happen in the background. Kelly and Finley as well. This is episode 7. This series is going so fast. Next week, we've got episode 8. It's going to be on Scotland. It's going to be really, really interesting. And that's the penultimate episode in the series. I can't believe how quick it's flown by. I've really enjoyed today's episode. I hope you, the audience, have too. We'll see you next week, and I hope today has inspired you to be able to, like, you know, address those vulnerabilities. It's okay. No one's got all the answers. We can all just move forward together. Thank you, and see you really soon. We'll see a lot of you at AOC. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.